Hello, it's Rob B with Rob D. And yes, you are listening to the Property Podcast. Hope you like the new logo. I hope you like the big announcements we made last week as well. But this week, we're not slowing down. We are introducing Fundamentals February.
Yes, welcome to the Property Podcast, where every Thursday morning, property investors, new or experienced, come together to be informed and inspired. This week, we are tackling one of the foundational concepts in property investment. It's probably the single biggest advantage for investing in property compared to other asset classes. So even if you are an experienced investor, make sure you keep listening. And definitely stick around right till the end as well, because in Hub Extra, we're going to tell you about a fantastic series of videos from one of the world's wealthiest and most generous men.
So we have a double helping of news stories this week. Well, one main news story and an update that you need to be aware of. So our main news story comes from The Guardian, and the headline reads, "Lenders cut mortgage rates to give a kickstart to 2019. Now, although over the last 12 months interest rates have increased slightly, mortgage rates are still very competitive. And this is something we've said on the Property Podcast for a long time now, that when interest rates start to move up, the actual products themselves won't. And the reason for that is competition in the market. Because as competition increases, which it does as we go further through the cycle, lenders start undercutting each other to make sure they're first on your list when it comes to borrowing. And the article says, word for word, commentators have said that the new rates are a response to increase in competition in the market. But this, Rob, isn't just a news story to go, oh, look, we're right. It's just incredible some of the rates on offer.
It is unbelievable. So in the story here, they're talking about residential rates, but the pattern is exactly the same for buy-to-let. So for a residential mortgage with HSBC, who's cut their rates on 31 different products, you can get a five-year fix at 90% loan-to-value for 2.29%. That's crazy. This also, I think, is a happy side effect of the decrease in transactions that we saw last year, and which we predicted a couple of weeks ago is going to continue for the rest of this year as well. And the mechanism is exactly the same. Lenders need to lend money. That's how they make money. They have to lend. So if there are fewer people wanting to borrow money, then there's more competition, and that means rates are going to get cut. So this is highly relevant for our topic today when we're talking about leverage, because a lot of people get scared about interest rates and worry about interest rates going up. And they're absolutely right to be mindful about that. But the base rate is only one component. Lenders and the competition among them is another factor. And this news story is such a great illustration of that.
And the update that we want to bring to you is the tenant fee ban that's going through Parliament at the moment. So it's not quite done and dusted yet, but they have a date. They have June 1st. And what that means is on June 1st, we expect to see that letting agents or landlords are no longer allowed to charge a fee when a tenant applies for a property. So that does mean that if you are doing reference checks, at the moment it appears that you have to take the hit on that cost. So the final details aren't out yet, but we wanted to put it on your radar that it looks like it's going to come in on June 1st. So ungovernment like that, we haven't got all the details yet, just an announcement. Parliament has got to go through one more reading, and if it's passed and approved, then we should get the final details then. But one to mark in your calendar, because you don't want to fall foul. But of course, we will keep you updated on the podcast.
Okay, coming to our main topic this week in just a moment. But first, Rob, we need to acknowledge some of the wonderful comments that we've had in response to the rebrand that we launched on the podcast this time last week.
Yeah, thank you so much. It's great that we have so much support. And it's great that you're loving all the new resources and all the new courses that we've put out there. You know, we really want to wow you with the content and give you more and more and more for free. So we're going to keep that up. What you see now is not the finished product. As we've said, this is ongoing. We are going to keep dumping all our knowledge and other experts' knowledge on you until you can't take it anymore. Stop, I've learned too much. Now, hopefully that doesn't happen to you all too soon. But then again, can you ever learn too much? So thank you for all you people getting in touch who are loving the website, loving the resources. Please let other people know so they can benefit too. And we look forward to giving you more in the near future.
This is something that we're calling Fundamentals February, and it kicks off today with a run of episodes that revisit some of the core concepts in property. This is something we wanted to do because we find a lot of people discover the podcast, then go all the way back to the start and listen to the very first episodes, where naturally we're covering the most fundamental topics, the big concepts that drive everything else in property. And we still get great comments on those episodes today. People go back and they discover those episodes, and it really opens their eyes to these important ideas. And naturally, as time goes on in the podcast, we feel like, well, we've done that. We're going to sort of get down into the detail a bit more and cover other things. But we want to go back and revisit these topics for a whole month of episodes, because they are so important. So if you're newer to property, you maybe are new to the podcast as well, and you haven't encountered these ideas before, these are going to be absolutely invaluable. These are episodes that are going to bear repeat listens, because these ideas underpin everything else that we ever talk about. But that doesn't mean that you get a month off if you're an experienced investor either. Even if you are well on your way in property, you've got a portfolio already, there's still loads to gain from revisiting these core ideas. It's actually the whole reason that I've written books in the past. It's because in order to write something and explain it to someone, you have to understand it in a lot of detail. And I always find that when I go back and I think something through from the ground up, it makes me think about it in a different way and kind of jolts my brain. So by listening to these episodes, you'll come to appreciate these in a different way, or there'll just be a little line that's going to spark something new, or it's going to reaffirm what you already knew, and it's going to give you even greater confidence that you're doing the right thing by investing in property.
We're starting with one of the most powerful tools that we can use as property investors. I am, of course, referring to leverage. So let's start right at the beginning and then level this up. So what is leverage? Leverage is quite simple. It's using other people's money, borrowed money, with the aim of making higher returns. So in the case of property, that borrowed money is usually a mortgage. That's what most of us will use. We'll use a mortgage when we're leveraging. Now, the basic concept is really easy to understand. If you had £400,000 to invest, you'd expect to make a higher return than, say, if you had £100,000 to invest. But by using leverage, you can invest £400,000. It's just that not all the money is yours. You'll put your £100 in, and then you'll use a mortgage to get the other £300,000. Now, you're going to pay a fee for borrowing that money, and that's the interest on your loan. But as property investors, we expect to make a much greater return than the interest we are paying.
Okay, so that's what leverage is. Now let's look at what effect it actually has. It does two things for our investments that are very beneficial. It boosts the effect of capital growth, and it also boosts the return that you're making on your investment each year. I'll give you an example of how it does each of those. And just to say, to keep this simple and to avoid confusing you with lots of detail so you can focus on the overall concept, these examples are going to ignore tax and stamp duty and everything else. So these numbers aren't the actual numbers that you'd achieve, but it's the principle that you need to focus on here. So let's start with something really important by seeing how leverage boosts your capital growth. So without leverage, let's say that you buy a property for £100,000, you put all that cash in yourself, and it goes up in value over some amount of time to £125,000. So that's brilliant. You made £25,000, which is 25% of your original investment. Now consider a situation where you use a mortgage. So you buy a property for £100,000 still, but you only put in £25,000. The rest of it comes from a mortgage. That's leverage. And then the same thing happens, exactly the same. The property goes up over some period of time to £125,000. So again, it's gone up by £25,000. But this time, because you only put in £25,000 to start with, you've actually made 100% return on your investment. So exactly the same thing has happened, but rather than making a 25% return, which is still very good, you've made 100% return. And that is thanks to leverage.
So in the first example, you've put £100,000 in and made £25,000. And in the second example, you've put £25,000 in and made £25,000. Now, which would you prefer? Well, it's a no-brainer. The vast majority of us are going to prefer making 100% return on money rather than 25%. And that's what makes leverage so exciting. This isn't a slight boost in what you can make. This is game-changing numbers. By using something as simple as leverage, the amount of wealth creation that is possible is staggering. And that's what makes leverage so powerful. But it's not just the capital growth where you benefit.
No, it gets better because it also boosts your annual profit as well. Now, to understand this involves me reading out another big list of numbers, which I know can be hard to follow. So I'll go as slowly as I can because this is a really important idea. So let's start again with a situation where you're not using leverage. So you're using all your own cash to buy a property for £100,000. You rent that property out and you get in rent of £6,000 per year. Now, let's just say that your expenses, your costs in running the property were £1,000. So you end up making a profit of £5,000. That is a 5% return on your investment because you've got £5,000 out and you put £100,000 in. So in property, you'll often hear people talking about ROI. That's what this is referring to. The £5,000 annual return on your £100,000 investment, that's a 5% ROI. Let's again move on to an example of buying the same property, but this time using leverage. So again, buying for £100,000, but only having to put in £25,000 of your own money. The rest of it is in the form of a mortgage. Again, you rent the property out for £6,000 a year. That doesn't change. Your costs, though, are higher because now you've got to pay interest on the mortgage as well. So let's say that your costs are now £3,500 a year and you have to deduct that from the rent that comes in order to arrive at your profit. That means that your profit is now £2,500. That doesn't sound so good. That's actually less than before. In the previous case, you made £5,000. This time, you're making £2,500. So in pounds and pence, you're making less profit than you were before. But here's the important bit. Remember, again, you only put in £25,000. So if you've made a £2,500 profit on a £25,000 investment, then that is a 10% return on investment, or ROI. So once again, that's the power of leverage. In this example, we've doubled the return that we've made on our investment. Even though the profit is lower because there's interest to pay, you've put in so much less cash that the return that you're getting is actually much higher.
Another way you can look at this is if you buy with cash your £100,000 and you get your 5% return, great, so you get £5,000. But you put £100,000 in and leverage with it, so you buy four properties this time, £25,000 down on each one, then you're making £2,500 profit on each one. So that £100,000 means you get £10,000 profit a year rather than five. You have all the benefits that leverage gives you when it comes to capital growth. But then using the same amount of money and leveraging when it comes to return, you've doubled your money there as well. So leverage is wonderful, right? But then a few of you may be going, well, wait there, hang on. Leverage? That's just another word for debt. And debt is bad. Well, some debt is bad. Debt to buy things that you consume or lose value, like a car or a holiday, borrowing money to buy those things or consume those things, is not a good idea. That is bad debt. There is no way of dressing that up. You can tell yourself, yeah, but life's for living and all the rest of it, but financially, it's a bad decision. But there is such a thing as good debt. And good debt is using other people's money to buy things that go up in value and produce an income. Because with property, you're using someone else's money, but you are making more money than what you've borrowed at. So you are actually making a profit. You are being wise by taking that money on because you are making far more than you are paying back. And that's why it's good debt. Property is the ideal use for debt because it produces a reliable income stream and it rises in value over the long term. So that doesn't mean borrow to the hilt and go absolutely nuts. You've got to get this right.
Definitely. And there are risks when it comes to leverage, and we'll cover those later. Most of those risks come from being over leveraged. In other words, borrowing too much as a proportion of the asset that you're buying. So what is a good amount of leverage? Well, so far in our examples, we've been looking at borrowing 75% of the value of the property that we're buying. That's known as loan to value in the jargon. So the value is 100,000, you're borrowing 75,000, that's 75% loan to value. For buy-to-let investing, that's more or less typical. At the moment, most mortgage products restrict you to about 75%. That's as high as I'll go. There are some deals around for 80%, and there are times when banks are very enthusiastic and keen to lend, and it will go higher than that. But you'll typically be able to borrow a maximum of about 75%, and that's what most investors do. if you're new at a property, that might sound a lot. It kind of is when you think about it. It's like, wow, I'm going to buy a property and 3/4 of the money is going to come from someone else. That's either amazing or scary, depending on how you feel about it right now. But as a general rule, 75% as a maximum is pretty sensible, because it means that prices would need to fall by 25% before you owe the bank more than the property is worth. And of course, that kind of fall can happen, but it's pretty unusual and it normally doesn't stay that way for long. If you'd borrowed 95%, it's far easier to imagine that happening. Now, that is a maximum. That doesn't mean that you have to borrow that amount. You might be a bit nervy about leverage, and you might be more comfortable borrowing less, and that's absolutely fine. Or you might need less leverage to achieve your goals. If you've got a good amount of cash and your goals aren't particularly ambitious, you don't want to build an enormous portfolio, then it might not be necessary to use that much leverage. And that's absolutely fine too. But as a maximum, 75% is a pretty good rule of thumb.
Now, when you borrow money in the form of a mortgage, you'll have the option of repaying the loan in full or just paying for the interest. So you never actually pay down the debt. You only pay for the interest during the period you borrow. Now, although for somebody who's new to property, that may sound a bit mad or a bit scary, it's actually what the majority of investors do, because using an interest-only mortgage maximizes your cash flow. And we'll see in a minute why this is important. You'll also have inflation helping you out, and we'll have more on that next week. But people do wonder how they'll pay the money back at the end. And the simplest way is to sell the property, by which time you expect it to be worth a lot more. There are lots of options available though. So by combining next week's episode with this week's, you'll feel a lot more confident. But leverage isn't perfect. You can get it wrong, and there are risks.
Definitely, and it's very important to be aware of the risks. Leverage is powerful. You shouldn't take it for granted, and you shouldn't be ignorant as to what the risks are, because once you understand the risks, you can make sure that you take actions that will control that risk and make sure that you stay safe and feel comfortable. And that's something we're going to come to a little bit later on. So what are the risks of leverage? Well, there are two main ones. The first risk is that if the value of the property falls, you'll end up losing a higher proportion of your money. In other words, leverage magnifies your returns in both directions. It means that you make more when things are going up, but you lose more when it's going down. So I'll give you an example of that. Say that you buy a property for £100,000. Again, you put in £25,000 of your own money. The rest is a mortgage. But instead of rising, that property falls in value to £75,000. If that happens, you've actually lost 100% of your investment. So you put in £25,000. It's fallen by £25,000. So you have no equity in the property. The whole value of the property is the same as the mortgage. That sounds scary, and it is. It's not something to take for granted. That's why you should see property as a long-term investment. And we're going to talk about this a lot more in just a moment. First, though, let's talk about the second risk when it comes to leverage. And that is the risk that you can't afford your debt repayments. So let's say that you're renting a property out for £500 a month and your mortgage is costing you £350 per month. So that's a pretty good situation. You're making some profit there and the value of the property over time is gradually increasing. All good. What's not good, though, is if interest rates go up and your mortgage becomes more expensive. So let's say that because of interest rates going up, your mortgage payments get more expensive and are now costing you £550 a month. Well, you can't just put your rent up because your costs have gone up, so you're still renting it for £500. That means you're now losing £50 a month. So you're having to put in money out of your own pocket. And if you can't afford to do that, you get behind in your repayments, then the bank could repossess the property, take it back off you completely, and you lose the property and any of your own money that's tied up in it. So those are two very real risks, and that's fair enough. You wouldn't expect to have such a powerful tool, but there'd be no downsides to it at all, and just be able to use it however you want, risk-free. You're not just randomly exposing yourself to these risks. There are actions that you can take, specific things that you can do to stay safe when you're using leverage.
So the first is to make sure your property is cash flow positive, even if interest rates go up. Now you may be thinking, well, how do I work that out? What do I need to do? The good news is banks enforce this now. And this is the most important thing. The banks use stress tests to make sure that you can not only afford to pay the mortgage now, but if rates go up quite significantly. Now, you should work with a mortgage broker to understand this, but it's important to know that all buy-to-let lenders are enforced to do this now. Now, with property, prices don't always go up. They, at certain points in the cycle, will come down. What if you don't time it well and you end up overpaying for a property maybe, or buying it right at the peak of the market. Well, if property prices go down, as long as you keep paying the interest, it doesn't matter because they'll rise again in the future. Property is a long-term investment. So you don't need to worry that the value of your property at some point of the cycle may be actually worth less than your mortgage. I know that sounds really scary, but that happened to lots of people after the 2008 crash. And that happened to myself included. But guess what? I still kept renting it out and I was making a profit every month. And then, yes, over time, the property was once again worth more than my mortgage. So even buying at the wrong time, as long as you don't panic and hold on to your property, you'll recover and make a nice income each month while that recovery takes place. So it's important that you buy with the intention for holding for the long term. Over a couple of years, anything can happen. But over 20 years, it's unbelievably unlikely that you won't be able to sell it for more than it's worth now. That's why if you take a long-term view with property, it's a fantastic asset to own. Now, a little earlier on, we touched on how leverage and inflation work so well together. And we're going to give you a snippet now, but we'll develop this concept more next week.
Yeah, consider this a bit of a teaser. If this doesn't make sense to you right now, don't worry, because it will after next week. So let's look at what happened in the property market overall last year as an example of this. So in the UK, the average increase in house prices over the year was 2.5%. And inflation was also round about 2.5%. So if you bought a property with cash, in real terms, so after adjusting for inflation, you'd be no better off. You'd have bought your property, it would have gone up in value a bit, but the purchasing power of cash, which is what inflation is, would have gone down by the same amount. So overall, you'd be evens. But let's say that you used leverage instead and look at the effect that that has. So again, we'll take our simple example of buying a property for $100,000 and putting in $25,000 of your own money. So if prices went up by 2.5% over the year and this property performed bang on the average, then it would go up in value by 2.5%, which would take its value to £102,500. So you put in £25,000, it's gone up in value by £2,500. So that's a gain of 10%. It's gone up by £2,500, you put in £25,000. That's 10%. Now, to make this a like-for-like comparison, need to take off the impact of general inflation, which is 2.5%, and that gives you a real return after adjusting for inflation of 7.5%. So even when the market isn't doing anything particularly exciting, this isn't the kind of thing that you get headlines about. It's no kind of boom. This isn't double-digit growth and everyone getting excited. This is really boring. This is just property going up in line with inflation. Even when that happens, because of leverage, you can make a really great return. That's only 1 year, but over the long term, this is pretty close to magic. And we're going to develop this idea and talk about inflation a lot more on next week's episode.
So that's the first installment of Fundamentals February, and we hope you enjoyed that. We certainly enjoyed going back over what is one of the most important subjects when it comes to property investment. Now, you can develop this further, because yes, we're going to be back next week with more. But before then, you can get over to Property Hub University and take advantage of one of those wonderful new courses we've got. Check out How Property Will Make You Rich in the Long Term. It covers leverage and more, and it really helps you understand some of the core principles that lead to wealth creation in property. So get along to propertyhub.net/university. That's propertyhub.net/university, and check out that free course. So it's time to acknowledge some wonderful reviews from you, dear Hubbers. Now, as we said, we're really keen to hear about your progress and the impact the podcast has made on you and your property journey. So please do get in touch and let us know. Of course, if you just want to say thanks, then that's well received. But please, we love it when you tell us how you've used the podcast to help guide your investment decisions. Now, first up this week, we've got Dave. And Dave says, "Never in my entire life I've written a review on anything, but I feel this one is long overdue. I just have to say a massive thank you to you both for the quality of information you guys put out every week. I've read all the books and decided to subscribe to the magazine as well. My own property journey started in 2015, and it's had its ups and downs. I wish I knew about you guys then. However, I'm now getting back on track because of your resources, and I now understand the importance of goal setting and strategy. Lessons I will be taking with me into the future. As a final point, I'm very glad to have you guys in the corner of those who consider ourselves ethical landlords. taking poorer houses and turning them into providing good quality homes for a fair price for nice people always seems like a noble calling to me. Thanks again, Dave. Well, Dave, it sounds like a noble calling to us too. And a quick one, one-liner. Red Poltergeist says, please do start a YouTube channel as well. Well, now you know, after last week, we have. We've only just started, but there's going to be more and more uploaded over the coming months. So check out YouTube and search for Property Hub and subscribe to our channel there.
So it's time now for Hub Extra, where we just try to squeeze in that extra resource, whether it's an app, a book, a quote, or in the case of this week, a video.
Now, Rob and I are both big fans of Ray Dalio. Ray Dalio runs one of the biggest hedge funds in the world. He is one of the most wealthiest people on the planet. That is all great, but that is not why we admire him so much. The reason why we admire him is with all that success, he still takes time to share his knowledge and put out content that really helps people to understand how money and the economy works. We've previously pointed you to his wonderful How the Economic Machine Works video on YouTube. And if you've not checked that out, make sure you do. Now, Ray has also published a book called Principles. And Principles was one of our favourite books a couple of years back. It's absolutely fantastic. But it is a meaty read. There's a lot in there. But once again, Ray has delivered for us all. He's created a video that in 30 minutes breaks down this book. Now, his principles are what he believes his principles for success. And the reason why Ray has done this is he's at a stage of life that he wants to give back and he wants to pass on the lessons he's learned. It's all for free on YouTube. You can find it by searching for Principles by Ray Dalio. You can also go to our show notes where we'll link to all this information. You can watch it in one half an hour hit, or if you can't give it that time, he's broke it down into 8 individual episodes. A wonderful resource from a very generous man.
Well, that is us done with the first installment of Fundamentals February. Really hope you enjoyed it. And let us know what other topics you want us to cover in the future. There might be subjects that matter to you that we haven't talked about much, or just things that are really important for you to understand and you want to hear them fleshed out a little bit more. We'd love to have your suggestions. So find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Property Hub UK. That's us done for this week, though. So we'll see you again next Tuesday for Ask Rob and Rob. See you then. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.